Christ, the Light of Life, 1899. First two pages missing. As the head of humanity, Christ is our example in all things. He, the divine Son of God, has said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29-30. We have our Bibles, we have had great light, and yet men in responsible positions have not been as anxious to keep the way of the Lord as they have to receive wages which they did not earn by faithful stewardship. Things have been swinging far away from Bible principles, and this has led men into darkness. Perverted ideas have led to a large outlay of means in Battle Creek and Union College, and also large expenditures in Walla Walla, Washington. Much money has been invested that might have been saved to establish buildings in places where we have no means at all of presenting the truth. Thus, Detroit and other large cities that I will not name are robbed of the means required to lift the standard of truth. And in the regions beyond, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 16, the work has not and cannot be represented because the treasury is empty. There have been wrong advisors, wrong schemes and plans laid, that have eaten up the means that should be in the treasury to carry the truth to countries that have not heard the last note of warning that is to be given to the world. God is no respecter of persons. He would have the light of the third angel's message carried into all parts of the world. But in order for men to be faithful in the stewardship they have accepted, they must be men who are much with God in prayer. They must take Him as their counselor, for Satan is on the ground to oppose every advance of light. All are to bear in mind that the work is to be carried forward without partiality and without hypocrisy. "Ye," says Christ, "are the salt of the earth." To whom does He refer? It is to those who know the truth, to those who are handling the Word of God. "But if the salt have lost its savor," He continues, "wherewith shall it be salted?" Matthew 5, verse 13. It cannot and will not have any saving property in it. How then shall the world have a representation of the truth as it is in Jesus? That religion which has not power to propagate itself, to enlighten and save perishing souls, is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. We cannot trust aught but pure and undefiled religion for our own salvation. The sooner we cast away every system of religion that is powerless to convict and convert souls, the better it will be for us, for such religion is spurious. We must have truth, the living truth, abiding in the soul. Every true Christian is a soldier of Jesus Christ. He is the captain of our salvation. He is our leader. We must wear His armor and fight under His banner. We must do just as He bids us, for our strength lies in obedience to His word. Thus we may have a power that is not of ourselves. Christ is the light of the world. We are to walk in His light, for He is that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1, verse 9. "Every one," said He, "that is of the truth, heareth my words." John 18, verse 37. "He that will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." Luke 9, verse 23. It is through disregard of this command that backsliding has come into our ranks. Men have been placed where God should be, and their example has been followed. Christ spoke no mere sentiments, notions, or opinions, but pure, clean, holy, eternal truth. He set forth principles, both in precept and example, from His own personal knowledge. He saw what men in their selfish blindness and self-indulgence failed to see, that whatever deviates or leads away from the eternal principles He has set forth, however plausible or deeply reverenced in the minds of men, is a delusion and a falsehood, unable to sanctify or save the soul. Christ had stood in the counsels of God. He had dwelt in the innermost recesses of the heavenly sanctuary, and truths, unadulterated and original, were familiar to Him. He taught that which He knew, and testified that which He had seen. He was the truth, the Word of God, the light of life, and he unfolded truth of the higher order. He was the Word, the wisdom of God, and he spoke the truth as one having authority. His word was with power, because from his knowledge he was unfolding truth that can never perish, the words of eternal life. It is astonishing to all the universe of heaven that men will depart from the Thus saith the Lord in precept and example, and teach for doctrine the commandments of men. All who will follow the light of God's word will not walk, as in the past, in the sparks of the fire of their own kindling. Jesus is the world's Redeemer. He contemplated our race and has given a revelation in every way adapted to our human necessities and essential for every soul who would have eternal life. He looked upon the human race as fallen, standing under the sentence of God's transgressed law. They were helpless, degraded, ignorant, hopeless, and ready to perish. He understood their peril and left the royal courts of heaven, clothed his divinity with humanity, and brought to them a message and way of deliverance. There is knowledge with the Most High with which the discoveries of man can bear no comparison. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fountain of all knowledge. His hallowed life taught living and eternal principles. He who dwelt in the presence of God, who was one with the Father, never mingled in his instructions the topics of human science. He was the God of all genuine science. He is the science of salvation. There is a lower knowledge that may be acquired by ordinary means, according to the capabilities that God has entrusted to man. Its value can be estimated and is not essential for the recovery of man. But the way of life and immortality could only be made known through Jesus Christ, and this knowledge is salvation to all who accept it. It is the science of salvation, and all must have this knowledge or perish. I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. Christ has ascended the firmament of truth as the sun ascends in the heavens to lighten the world with his glory. He shines with the consciousness that were he to withdraw his beams from the world, there would be eternal darkness. He shines forth today to lighten every man that will walk in his light. If they will walk in the light as he is in the light, they will not stumble. Let all who have a knowledge of the way, the truth, and the life, bear in mind that Christ pleased not himself. His whole life was an example of pure, disinterested benevolence. And he declared, "This gospel shall be preached for a witness to all nations." Matthew 24, verse 14. Satan is to be met on every side with his specious temptations. He has a keen perception of what he has lost. When his principles were not received in the heavenly courts, and he was cast out of heaven, he made a vow to use his knowledge and his powers to war against God, taking from him the beings he had created and bringing them under his own standard. In accordance with this vow, he has worked, and will continue to work, to instill his sentiments in the minds of the children of men. His own devising he will make to appear as truth to many minds, to be received as truth. This it has been with the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. His specious presentation of the Sabbath of the Lord has led the world to discard the genuine Sabbath and accept the spurious. The arch-deceiver often comes in person as a man of pleasing address. He converses with human beings and lays before them singular temptations. He works in every way to overcome them, for he knows what heaven would be to every human agent. He knows that that which Christ has undertaken will be accomplished, that the Scriptures will be fulfilled, and that there will be a host which no man can number encircling the throne where he has stood so often as chorister, to sing the songs of adoration and praise to God in the courts of heaven.